It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Ephesians, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come when he went back to heaven. He promised that. And let me read a few verses in connection with this. John 14:16, we've read this. And I pray, he says, the Father, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Once again, Jesus said he was going to send the Comforter. He was going to send the Holy Spirit to do certain things in our lives and for us. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is expedient, necessary, he says, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, we've seen by our study so far that Jesus Christ did go back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit did come on the day of Pentecost. And we've seen and we've talked about how that the Holy Spirit would bring things back to our remembrance, and he would guide us into all truth. He would, because he is all truth, he is all righteous, and he has all power. But one of the greatest things that I've discovered, now that's great, all those are great, but one of the greatest things I've discovered is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not only sent to lead and guide us, but the Holy Spirit was also sent to comfort us. I've stood by the gravesite of loved ones who have gone before, and people standing there who've lost that loved one. And I've seen how the power of God has been upon that person standing there, and how that loved one they have lost, they have confidence that one day they're going to see them in heaven once again. But that person standing next to me who's lost that loved one, I believe that the Holy Spirit is comforting that individual right then. The Holy Spirit, without understanding how it happens or what goes on with the person, I know what goes on. The Holy Spirit is comforting that individual, and they could stand there and sing praises to God, knowing that one day they're going to see that loved one once again. And I thank God for that. I thank God that the Holy Spirit is not only giving us power to be able to give other people the word of God, to stand up for the Lord, to do the things of God, but he's also given us that comfort that we need so desperately in our lives as human beings. Oh, if only more of us would be willing to cast our cares upon God because he cares for us, and cast our cares upon him, the Holy Spirit, so that Holy Spirit could give us the comfort that we need so many times in this life. We can share that Holy Spirit with other individuals by saying, please, know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then the Holy Spirit can come and live with them after we tell them about the saving power of Jesus Christ. Well, we've looked at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 5, and we've seen verse 10, how that, you know, that God has given us promises there, and he's told us in the book of Ephesians. But verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5 now goes on to say, and here we are now, the word "and" is here. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Well, I believe that verse 11 is a continuation of the warnings Paul has given to the church at Ephesus. Remember, now there are local churches, but the church is actually the people. The church is people. Called out assembly. That's what the word church means. And we meet in what's called the local church. And might I remind you that you need to belong to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching local church where the Word of God goes forth, with the power that it has been intended to go forth by. And how's that power? Who provides it? It's the Holy Spirit. And that's who we're talking about here. The Holy Spirit gives the power to give out the Word of God. In fact, Jesus said when the day of Pentecost would come that he said that he was going to give the people power to be witnesses unto him, both in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, that promise is still to us today, that we're able to give out the Word of God no matter where we're at. Now, you may not be able to go to Africa. You may not be able to go to Australia. You may not be able to go to South America. But wherever you're at, you can give out the Word of God. You can be the one who helps other individuals know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit, He is the one who gives us that ability, that privilege of sharing Jesus with other people of this world. And not only does He give us that, but He gives us the comfort that we need. Say, have you ever witnessed to someone and they're kind of mean to you? And maybe you really feel down. Maybe you feel dejected. I guess that's the word. But if that happens to you, you need to hold your head up high. You need to say, Lord, I've done what you've told me to do. I've given out your word. And now, Lord, I need your comfort. And guess what? The Comforter is there. He's there to comfort you. He's there to lift you up. All you have to do is say, Lord, I need you, and I need you now. And Jesus has told us that the Holy Spirit would come, and He did come, and He's there for us. And we just need to believe what God has said. Now, notice something here. Now, I've already read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. But the book of Ephesians, I remind you, is God-breathed. That is, God is the author of the book of Ephesians, as well as all of the books of the Bible. And when I say books of the Bible, please keep in mind that when we look into the Bible, we see 66 writings that constitute or make up one complete book. The Bible, God's Word, and I believe that's the King James Bible, has no mistakes. Oh, some people might try to get you to believe that there's mistakes there, but when I encounter someone like that, I ask them, how many times have you read it? And they'll say, well, I haven't read it very much. I really haven't read it at all. And these people think there are mistakes there, but there are no mistakes in the Word of God. All writings of the King James Bible are in complete agreement, and you will never see a contradiction. And the reason there are no mistakes or contradictions in the Bible, the King James, is that God will never contradict Himself. The Bible is God's book, and we can depend upon the book. How can we depend upon it? Because we can depend upon God, God the Father. He's the one who sent Jesus to us. He's the one who gave us life, eternal life. We've trusted Him, and one day we're going to be with Him. We have eternal life. That life will never end. And by the way, your eternal life does not start when this breath of life leaves your body or Jesus comes back in the rapture. Your eternal life started once you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. The very moment that you trusted the Lord for salvation, you asked Him to come into your heart, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to go your way now. I'm not going to go my way. I'm going your way. I'm trusting you to save me. The moment you did that, you had eternal life, and no one can take that from you. That's another comfort that the Holy Spirit gives us, the comfort of knowing that we're saved forever. When 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, I said that there are no contradictions in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means it's worth a lot. It's profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, for correction. God tells us when we're wrong. He reproves us. And then he doesn't leave us there. He tells us about correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God, how should I live today? How should I live my life? Get into the Word of God, and He tells you it's instruction in righteousness. That's the Bible. Why? Verse 17 of 2 Timothy 3 says that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature, maturing, thoroughly, or throughly furnished unto all good works. The more we get into the Word of God, the more that we're ready to do the things that God wants us to do. Not to be saved, But because we are saved, we have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, let me continue on here now with verse 11 of Ephesians 5. Now, notice the word "and" in Ephesians 5:11. The word "and" is a conjunction that connects one or more of the preceding verses in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Be ye, therefore, followers of God as dear children." That's to save people. That's to the church that Paul's writing to in Ephesus, but he's writing to us as well. "Be ye, therefore, followers of God as dear children." Verse 2 says, "and," conjunction, "and" tells us what to do as children of God. And then we see verses 3 through 5 tells us what not to do. And verse 6 warns us of deceivers. And verse 7 tells us we are not to join in with deceivers or those who are ungodly, as described by their actions found in verses 3 through 5. Well, notice now with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, where it reads, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." And when we read these verses, these are things that God is warning us about, and the things that God is telling us how we're to live our lives and not to live our lives. Now, you know, Proverbs has some things to say about darkness. It tells us in Ephesians that we're not children of darkness anymore, and we're not to live as children of the dark. Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 10 through 13 come to my mind when it says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man." Notice this, "from the man that speaketh froward things." Verse 13, "who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." God warns us, and God helps us to know how to get out of these things when a man or woman or anyone tries to lead us back into darkness. You see that word "froward" in Proverbs chapter 2. That word means that person who speaks froward things. In other words, that person is disobedient, contrary, unmanageable, difficult to deal with. They have an evil disposition. And you see, this person would try to confuse people, and when it would come to doing right, this person would advise people that it is all right to do things contrary to what God says in His Word. We need to be very careful as Christians not to fall for the tricks of the devil. The devil will use other people to try and confuse us. We need to stay close to the Lord. And as we stay close to Him, remember the Holy Spirit's guiding us. If we depend upon the Holy Spirit, He's going to help us to stay away from these people that would lead us into the dark things of this world. We've been delivered from the darkness of this world. We've been given eternal life through the light of life, the light of this world. That light is Jesus Christ. He came into the world to give light and life to the people of this world. And I pray that you have that light, that you have Jesus Christ. If not, trust Him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.